You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Good morning. Season's greetings. Our scripture reading is in Matthew chapter 1, beginning with verse 18 through the conclusion of the chapter. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And he shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd add your blessing to this, the reading of your holy word, because we ask it in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this time together. We do rejoice in our heart as we, this time of year, contemplate the opportunity to share the joy of the birth of Christ, knowing, Father, that even that, as the world gets everything, is wrong. The world doesn't understand. Lord, you know that. That's one of the reasons he came. That's the reason that we need a Savior, and he comes to fulfill that role. We just thank you, Father, as we're able to take the opportunity and bless others with it. We thank you, Father, now as you take the Word of God in our own lives, in our heart, and that you build us up, Lord, in a faith that's holy, that we might get to know you better, that we might be able to appreciate and live the life that the one who loved us and gave his life for us so that we could live this life, might live it in honor to him. We pray this in his name and for his sake. Amen. A couple of things I want to do, and I want to look at the name. Yeah, and that's really what I wanted to kind of focus on a little bit, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time with it this morning, but so much of what we sing and what we read is in the name, Jesus. And Mary was commanded by the angel, and Joseph was commanded by the angel to call his name Jesus. Look at the last verse in chapter 1. Joseph knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. See, that's what the angel had told her back up in verse 21. Told him back up in verse 21. She, your wife, shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. But you know, God had a bigger plan than that. That's what John 3:16 tells us. God so loved not just Israel. He loved the whole world. That means he loved you and he loved me. He loved each and every one of us. And that's the message of Christmas. That's the message of what it's all about. I don't know where Christmas comes from. Christ, but what's Moss? Is that more? More Christ? Is that? I'll check that out. I've been checking some things out. Notice another name we get for him in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Why didn't they call him Emmanuel? That's a good question. Emmanuel's really not a name. It's not a title. It's more of a characterization, if that helps you any. And it goes on. It says it just means God with us. Emmanuel means God with us. It's a lot like in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. If you remember those names that were given to the child that was born, the one whose government was to be on his shoulders, you remember the names that were given to him? Wonderful, Counselor. Is it on the front of the bulletin? It's on the front of your bulletin. You can look there. The Mighty God. the everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. Those are characterizations. Those identify. It's kind of like what Emmanuel is. It's just God with us. God with us. I think of Jesus and I think of the name, and we've been taught, and we need to understand this, it is a name that's associated with His humanity. It is a name that's associated with the purpose that God gave Him to be born in the flesh. It is the purpose that He was to take upon Himself the sin of the world. That is the utter degradation that is associated with Him. He who never knew sin took on sin. And that is associated with that name, Jesus. But look at what that name means. It means, well, God gives us a picture of it in verse 21, the last phrase, He shall save His people from their sin. It means Jehovah is salvation. It's the Hebrew word Jehoshua. Or as we understand it, Joshua is an abbreviation of that name. It is the word that is associated divinely with the deity, which implies redemption. Jehovah is salvation. The first time we ever encounter this word Jehovah, and that's what it is. You remember how often we talk about in Philippians where it says every knee shall bow? At what name? Jesus. That's Jehovah. He's the one who cares for us. He's the one, he's the characteristic of God, the representation of God that is concerned about us. The first time we run into it is in Genesis, where we have Elohim, God, created the heavens and the earth. We have the Lord God who comes into the picture after man is created. So when man begins to fill the scene and becomes the dominant factor in all of creation, we have the Lord God, Jehovah Elohim. When man sinned, who was it that went? Go back to Genesis chapter 3. When man sinned, and sin entered the world by one man, who was it that was concerned about man? Look at chapter 3, verse 8. And this is Jesus. In chapter 3, verse 8, that's Adam and Eve, heard the voice of the Lord God, that's Jehovah Elohim, walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? It's Jehovah who is who has a primary position, not Elohim, who has a primary position, for instance, in Genesis 1:1, and Elohim created the heavens and the earth. It's Jehovah Elohim that's given the principal position, the primary position in this relationship of one who wants to fellowship with man. He walked in the garden, and one who sought man. Where art thou? Look over at verse 21. Adam also, and for his wife, did Jehovah Elohim make coats of skins and clothe them. So it's you start to see a picture of how this works. This worked in the time of Israel when they were brought out of Egypt. Go over to Exodus chapter 14. So when dealing in the relationship that God has with man, He deals with him in the relationship of Jehovah. In chapter 14, verse 13. And you know this story, you know, they've all left Egypt and they've taken all their spoil and the Egyptians are following them. And they've got their back up against a river. And there's all these Egyptians getting ready to wipe them out. Verse 13, Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of who? Jehovah, the Lord. To see the salvation of the Lord. Now the name of God was very important to Moses. Do you remember that time when Moses came down from the mountain and they had built that golden calf, and they were all dancing and having fun, and God was displeased, and Moses was displeased, and they had this big separation, and Moses was pleading and interceding. And he went before God, and he said, look, if you will forgive them, if not, then blot my name out of the book of life. And what God said is, he said, I'll blot everyone who's a... Go over to, it's here in Exodus chapter 33. Actually, back up three verses to chapter 32, verse 33. And the Lord said unto Moses, that's Jehovah said unto Moses, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out the book. And then it goes on, and Moses asked them to, the nation Israel, to separate themselves, to stand outside their tent, be ready for the word of God to come to them. And God comes down, Moses goes into the tabernacle, and he meets with Moses, and Moses says unto him in chapter 33, verse 12, Moses said unto the Lord, see thou sayest unto me, bring up this people. In verse 13, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way. In verse 18, and he said, Moses said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I'll make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of Jehovah before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, but thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And so, let's read the rest. And Jehovah said, behold, there is a place for me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass while my glory passes by that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take my hand away, and thou shalt see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Chapter 34, verse 5. And the Lord descended in the cloud, and he stood with him there, and he proclaimed the name of the Lord. And this is when he passes by. And the Lord passed by before Moses and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. That's the name of Jesus. Jehovah. Jehovah is the Lord God. That's who he is. That's the salvation of the Lord. And we've seen just a picture of that right here. Jeremiah brings it out over in his book, Lamentations. Turn over there. Many of you are familiar with this passage in chapter 3 of Lamentations. It's right between Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Now, chapter 3, we're all familiar with verse 22. It is because of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Remember, now we're looking at the name Jesus. Oh, I mean, it just permeates every aspect of our life. And I don't want us to be afraid of that name. I think we need to understand it. We need to recognize it. And we need to put it in its proper place. It is not until a sinner comes before God to recognize the need for his redemption that he becomes to understand who Jesus is. And that's just the beginning. It says here in verse 22, it's because of the Lord's mercies, that's Jehovah, that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Now follow along with me the next verse. Next two verses. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto those who wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. To have hope and to wait. To have hope and to wait. Verse 26. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for what? The salvation of the Lord. You know, that's as true today as it was 2,000 years ago, as it was true when this was written 800 years before. It is good to have hope. It is good to have hope. The one who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has never come to Jesus, the one who's never seen the purpose behind his dying on the cross to redeem man, to pay that penalty, to be my advocate and your advocate before God, the one who's never seen that he has a need for an intercessor to plead his case, has never come to Jesus. You know who Jesus is to him? He's no different than Buddha or Confucius or Gandhi or any of those guys. He's just a man. But he's got to come to understand that Jesus is the salvation of the Lord. That's that step. That's a come back to Proverbs chapter 18. Let me tie this in. It's easy this time of year to miss the meaning of Christmas. It's easy to miss the understanding of the birth of a little child. It's easy to put the hustle and the bustle. I heard Kathy say this morning, we had a power shopping moment yesterday. And it's hard in that kind of time and in that effort. I remember a few years ago talking to y'all about Isaac as he stood before our Christmas tree, and he just went, wow. Wow. And that's what Christmas becomes. It's just caught up in this present buying and this party going and all of these. And then that's the outward stuff. The inward stuff begins. The need to want to have things well. The need to want to have things peaceful. The need to want to have things okay and all right. And it's not. It's not in your life. It's not in your family. It's not in those around you. You know that. It's not until you come to find peace in the Prince of Peace. And then it doesn't matter about those things. God has a purpose and a plan. We've talked about this so many times. We know that all things, Romans 8:28, not just good things, bad things too. Have you come to that point in your life where you have brought a gift to the one whose birthday is being celebrated this time of year? The giver of every good and perfect gift. God has given the greatest gift that ever could be given. So that you never have to worry about anything. But you do. Don't you? I'm not going to ask you to stand up and raise your hand. I know you do. You're no different than anyone else. That's why God gave us that verse in Corinthians 10:13. That no testing has overtaken you that's not common to man. Hey, it's at your doorstep. It's out there in the life that you're living. It's in your family. It's everywhere that you meet. It's in your heart until you come to Him and you put your full trust in Him. See, and then you can honestly begin to realize all things is everything. Everything. It's everything that deals with my health. Oh yeah, go back to Job. Clark talked about Job last week. You remember? He lost his family. He lost his possessions. He lost his health. But he'd never forsake God. Even if God killed him. Hey, that's easy for me to say, but take my son or take my daughter, take my wife, take my husband. Can I say praise God? Can I sing hallelujah then? I mean, do I really believe this? I don't until I come to the little babe in the manger. Until I come to Jesus. And I realize that He had to become degradation. He had to become my sin in order for me to understand the fullness of what this verse means. That all things, good and bad, work together for what? For what God has planned and purposed in my life. See, here in Proverbs chapter 18, and I'm in Psalm 68. I forgot to keep turning. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. You think about all the songs we sing. What a friend we have in who? All our what? Yeah. How about that song, All Hail the Power of Who? Yeah. That angel's what? Yeah. We have those. We have all of those songs. I've got a couple more and I want to. Let me. Here's one. Jesus loves me. This I know. All of these songs. The Lord is a strong tower. Those are the things that we go to. Now, this is not a strong tower that you go to and try to conjure up some charm or some mystical incantation by saying, Jesus. And that does it. That's not it at all. It's the characterization. If you're not inside the tower, if you're not inside Him, there's no fortitude. There's no defense. There's no way to keep you out of harm. That's what it says in 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. I don't say it. It's the characterization of who He is and all that He is. That makes it real to me. It's there where Moses, who are you? Let me see your glory. Let me know. I've seen these 10 things and you've been these wonderful witnesses of who you are to bring out Israel, but I need to know who you are and let your glory pass before me so I can see you. Proclaim your name to me. That's what the strong tower is, who He is, what He's done, and His plans for you. The one who's just beginning to realize a consciousness is awakening to the sin in their life, they begin to see Jesus. But, oh, What about that sin? The one who knows Him oftentimes will look at the world and fall back and want to look back. Don't look back unless you look back at Him. There's nothing wrong with looking back. I kept looking at this week, and actually it's 2 weeks ago, I kept looking, don't look back, don't look back, don't look back. Lot's wife, look back. Remember Lot's wife, Jesus said. Don't look back. You know what? If you look back, like the nation Israel did when God brought them out with a mighty hand, and you begin to look back at the leeks and the garlics and the onions and the things that were there, the ornaments that they brought out, He said, every one of you take your ornament off. You've got to put those things off. If you're looking back like Lot's wife, you're looking back for the wrong reason. If you look back to focus on what God's done, you're looking back for the right reason. I don't think it's wrong to look back. For 2 weeks ago, I did. But I studied a little bit more. It's not wrong as long as your focus is on what? Christ. It's okay. Sometimes though we look back, and what do we look back at? Yeah, we look back at the ornaments of Egypt. We look back at the things of the world, and there's no safety in them. They perish. God is a strong, the Lord, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. You see there in Proverbs? Look at the next phrase. The righteous run into it and are safe. The righteous run into it and are safe. The ones who are doing the right thing, the ones who are obedient and abide by the Lord and His Word in their life. Verse 11, the rich man's wealth is his strong city. Oh, how weak is that? How feeble is the rich man's wealth that's here today but gone in eternity? Don't lay these things up. Reminds me of the story of the guy who showed up in heaven with the briefcase. This was not part of today, I just thought of it. Let's say it. And Peter said, you can't bring that in. He said, no, I've already got okay from God. Peter said, wait a minute. Went over and picked up the phone, called God. God said, yeah, I told him he could bring it in. So Peter came back and says, yeah, God said, yeah, that's right. You got it okay by Him. You can bring that your briefcase in. So God brought his briefcase in, started walking down the road, and Peter said, wait a minute. He said, what? My curiosity's up. He said, what's in that briefcase? And he said, look here. And the man says, look here. And he brings the briefcase over. And he opens it up, and there's bars of gold, shining, beautiful bars of gold. Peter looks at him and says, why would you want to bring pavement up here? The rich man's wealth has nothing in heaven. The rich man's wealth is nothing in heaven. It's all what God does and not what man does. It was God's intention. Man has no part in it. Before God, man is spiritually naked. No covering. None whatsoever. It is only the grace of God that covers us. It was His intention. It was His will. It was God's love. It was God's kindness. It was God's goodness. We've read all that. It was God's mercy. And it was all found in this little babe, Jesus, the Son of God. Now, there's a particular name, the Son of God. Let's go look at that. The Son of God, John chapter 1, verse 34. John chapter 1, verse 34. And John said, I saw and bore witness that this is the Son of God. You know, in verse 14, Yeah. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father. That's the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father. Verse 18, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. The Son of God is the only one who's seen Him. The only begotten Son. Now, we're all children of God, but we're not begotten of God. See, in John 3:16, God so loved the world, He gave His only what? Begotten. Only begotten Son. And we see here, too, a purpose in that, because we see in verse 29, the next day, John saw Jesus coming unto him, and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That's another thing I kind of dealt with this week. Why did he come? Why did he come? And that's one reason right there. He came to take away the sin of the world. Or as John, go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 5. And we know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. He was manifested. That's why he came. He came. You could put that in there. He came to take away our sins. We just heard that. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. You want to know another reason he came? Look down at verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested. He came that he might destroy the works of the devil. Let that just dwell in you and remember the purpose behind the babe that was born so long ago. In your life, it was to take away the sin of the world, but also to destroy the works of the devil. I saw a sign at a church, and it said, "If the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of his future." That's the work of the devil, to bring up the past, to make you look back like Lot's wife, to make you look back like those Hebrews who came out of Egypt, to look at the things that weren't, but could have been, and never will be. That's not God. God's dealing with now. He dealt with now back then. He's dealing with now right now. And in the future, he'll deal with now. And it's all perfectly planned and worked out according to his purpose. He takes all of those things, no matter how you wish they could have been, they wouldn't have been right because they wouldn't have been by God. And that's why we have such great joy this time of year. That's why there's so much desire for peace this time of year. That's what he speaks. He came to give us joy and peace and life. Life everlasting. Life. And he who has the Son, turn over to chapter 5, verse 11. You're still in 1 John? This is a record that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. Have you got the Son? Yes. Are you living your life with that confidence and that trust? So even when the gates of hell break forth upon you, you're able to stand. Whether it's pancreatic cancer, you know, there's things in life you don't have anything to do with. I mean, you can't. But there are things that you have something to do with. You know, I was listening to Charles Swindoll, and he was reading a letter from back 1984 yesterday. And this guy said, "You know, I was a CPA in a big company out in California, making big bucks, and I got fired. I didn't do anything wrong. All I did was I juggled some books. I didn't steal any money. I didn't misuse any money. All I do is I kind of fed one account to feed another account to feed this account so that my performance looked good. I just moved money," and they fired me. And my first thought, he said, was I was angry because I hadn't done anything wrong. But yeah. And we do that. There's things that we have nothing to do. We have no control over. There's things in our life that we have control over, and there's things in our life that God has control over. Now, I'm going to take the last two and put them in His camp. Oh, wait, the things I don't have control over, I think I'll put that in His camp too. So now all things are under His control in my life. It's not the reason for the season is Jesus. Jesus is the reason for what? Everything. That's what your focus and your life should be. That's why it's so easy to sing these songs like "Tis So Sweet," to trust in Jesus. Just to take Him at His word. Just to rest upon His promise. Just to know, "Thus saith the Lord." Yeah, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Oh, for grace to trust Him more. You need that. This time of season, you need that. I need that. That's, I'm going to quit there. Let me just leave you with another song. And remember, when you're beginning to enjoy this Christmas season, the real reason. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and He's just the same as His lovely name. That's the reason why I love Him so. Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Yeah, I really want you to think about that, because the name means salvation, and that's all of our beginning with God. Sin would separate us from the get-go. But it wasn't until we came to Jesus and we began to realize. You know, Paul said in Romans 10 that that you've got to recognize Him as Lord. And that's the growing process. He becomes Lord in your life. And that's why when you come to the prison epistles, we begin to see it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the greatness and the glory of that. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. That's a beautiful song.
Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the glory of this year, the birth of Your Son, our Savior. We pray, Lord, that the things of this world not draw us back, turn our attention to them, so that we might put our focus on Christ and His salvation. We thank You for this in His name. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.